I want to preach this morning for a few minutes on hope beyond this life. If in this life only we had hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. The truth of the resurrection is pivotal for the Christian. It's the foundation of our faith. And it is the hope of our future that there is a resurrection. It is fought hard by the devil to deny the fact of the resurrection. And he seeks to undermine the whole Christian faith by destroying the hope of the resurrection. That was what was happening in Corinth. There was some teaching that there is no such thing as a resurrection. And that wasn't new. The Sadducees believed that. That's the reason they were sad, you see. They did not believe in the resurrection. Now the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. And Jesus believed in the resurrection. Mary and Martha believed in the resurrection. And Paul is writing here to correct this misconception, this falsehood that's gaining ground in Corinth, that there is no resurrection. And the implication is, if there is no resurrection, then Jesus did not rise again from the dead. That Jesus is still in the grave. That he is still dead. And that hell won. And that really is the implication. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, hell won. And if hell won, we're all in trouble. And that's the reason he says that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, because hell has won. And if hell won, then Jesus is not the Son of God. Because he said, this is the sign that you ought to look for. His enemy said, show us a sign that we may believe in you. As if it were not enough that Jesus had opened blinded eyes and caused the dead to rise and done all of these miracles, show us a sign that we may believe in you. And Jesus said, I'll give you a sign, and that is the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying this. The sign that I'm going to give you is this fact. The grave is not going to hold me. My stay there will only be a temporary stay. And if you want a sign, watch my grave. For I'm coming out of that grave. And his enemies were the first to know that Jesus came out of the grave. The soldiers fainted away at the presence of those angels who came to roll the stone away. They went and reported to the authorities what they had seen. The authorities were so afraid of what these soldiers had said that they offered them money to go and tell a lie and say that his disciples came and stole his body away. But they knew what happened on that resurrection day, and the enemy didn't want it spread that Jesus had risen from the dead. Hallelujah! Praise God! I'm telling you, brother, Jesus conquered death and hell, came out of that grave on the third day and proved to the world he indeed is the Son of God. He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus did not come out of that grave, hell won. And the death of Jesus is meaningless. If he did not rise from the dead, there is no redemption. You're still in your sins. Your faith is in vain. There is no deliverance if hell won. Oh, my. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you this morning that hell lost battle. Jesus did come out of the grave. And this is what the Apostle Paul was proving to us in 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus indeed rose again from the dead. Hell lost that battle. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, the best we can say of him is that he was just a great philosopher trying to make sense out of this life, but having no answer for the life to come. But I'm telling you that Jesus is more than just a great philosopher. He's more than just a great teacher. He's the conqueror of death. He's the conqueror of hell. Jesus rose again from the dead. Hell lost that battle, brother. Oh, glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. Hell lost that battle. The gospel is good news. It is good news about the facts of the life of Jesus Christ. Paul opens this chapter telling the gospel that he preached. He enunciates the facts of the gospel. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now this was the gospel that Paul preached, and he said, you are saved by this gospel if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. You're saved by believing this gospel message. Christ lived, died, was buried, and rose again from the dead. The gospel is good news. Hell has been defeated. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. Paul said, in Adam, all die. We were all in Adam. We were all born into Adam's family. And in Adam, all die. Adam was the federal head of the human race. We all partook of his sin and died in Adam. But the Bible says in Christ, all are made alive. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to live, but everybody in Christ is. Hallelujah. If you're in Adam, you die. But in Christ, we've been made alive. Hallelujah. Everybody in Christ knows what it is to live, to have abundant life. And everybody in Christ Jesus is going to partake of the resurrection of the just. And blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death hath no power. Hallelujah. In Christ we have been made alive in him. Everybody in Adam is going to die, brother. I mean, you're going to die forever. You're going to die in the eternal lake of fire. But if you're in Christ Jesus, hey, I use this at Brother Quisenberry's funeral. Jesus said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he asked the question to Martha, do you believe this? And Martha said, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. She didn't understand all that Jesus said. She didn't know Jesus was going to resurrect her brother. But if Jesus said it, she believed it. Whether she understood it or not, she believed it. Hallelujah. That was the kind of confidence that she had in Jesus. I might not understand it, but if Jesus said it, I believe it. Hallelujah. I believe, she said. I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. I believe my brother's going to rise again at the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And I am the life. Hallelujah. If Jesus lives in us, we've got life in us. He's the resurrection, brother. Everybody in Christ lives. Hell has been defeated. And my, the implications are wonderful. If we die in Christ Jesus, death can't hold us. Hallelujah. We're going to come out of the grave. Jesus is the first fruits of them that slept. First fruits means that this is just the promise of a harvest to come. When Jesus came out of the grave, He's the first fruits of them that slept. He is the beginning of the harvest. But behind Him, there's coming a great harvest. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. Jesus is the beginning of the beginning of a new creation. He is the first of that great resurrection. Hallelujah. Blessed and holy. That first resurrection, Jesus led the way. But praise God, those who are in Christ are going to come out of that grave. We do have hope beyond the grave. Hell is defeated. We can live in Christ Jesus. Our bodies will be resurrected. We have the hope of heaven because Jesus came out of the grave. If Jesus stayed in the grave, there's no heaven for you. You hear me? There's no heaven for you. We're all assigned to hell. We're all in our sins. If Jesus didn't come out of the grave, but when Jesus came out of the grave, hell was defeated. Our bodies will be resurrected. And heaven is open to us because Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. If in this life only we have hope, in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But our hope is not just in this life. We have hope beyond this life because Jesus rose again from the dead. Now the resurrection of Jesus not only gave us the promise of the resurrection for us, but the resurrection of Jesus also secured for us the promise of His return. If Jesus didn't rise again from the dead, He didn't ascend into heaven. If He didn't ascend into heaven, He ain't coming back. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. But Jesus rose again from the dead. He ascended back into heaven, and He promised, I'm coming back again. Hallelujah. And in the very end of this chapter on the resurrection, Paul says, I show you a mystery. We're not all going to sleep. We're not all going to die. Hallelujah. This is the way he applies death to the Christian. We're not going to sleep. We're not all going to sleep. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality. Listen to this. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Jesus Christ not only came out of the grave, He's coming back again, brother. He gave us a promise in the Word of God. This same Jesus that you've seen go away shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go away. The trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to get up. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And praise God. Unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus is coming back again. Hallelujah. And there's going to be a resurrection of the just and a translation of those that are living. And we're going to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Brother, we're on the verge of something. Oh, hallelujah. So we're on the verge of something wonderful and mighty and earth-shaking and earth-shattering and history-changing. There's something mighty about to happen. Jesus is coming back again. Oh, hallelujah. The world looks and says, all things continue as they were since the very beginning. The scoffers are walking around mocking. But the Bible says that God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It isn't good news to you this morning that Jesus is coming back again if you're not in Christ. And the only way you're going to partake of the blessings and benefits of the resurrection of Jesus is if you're in Christ. If you're in Adam this morning, you don't know the blessings and benefits of the resurrection. You got to be in Christ. Brother, listen to me. Death is a stock in your trail. Stock in my trail. It's appointed unto man once to die. And it wouldn't be so bad if that's all there was to it. But Jesus assured us there's more to it than just dying. After this, the judgment. We're barren people around here. Brother Quesenberry was 78 years old. Dustin, 19. You don't have to be old to face God. 78 years old and 19. And brother, I'm telling you that the blessing of the resurrection of Jesus is available to you, but not if you're in Adam. Only if you are in Christ. We only have hope beyond this life if we are in Christ. Outside of Him, this is the best life you're going to live. This is the best you're going to have it. All the pains, all the sorrows, all the tears, all the heartaches. This is the best you're going to have it right now if you're outside of Christ. You must be in Christ to know the benefits of the resurrection of Jesus. And I'm telling you this morning that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has made a plan of salvation that cannot fail. You hear me? It cannot fail. If you are in Christ Jesus, you cannot perish as long as you're in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, you believe in eternal security? Absolutely. Christ is the author of eternal salvation to all of them that obey Him. As long as you are in Christ Jesus, you cannot perish. Hallelujah. But if you're not in Christ Jesus, if you are in Adam, you are going to perish eternally. Oh yeah, my heart's been stirred, moved, saddened. Oh my, Brother Quesenberry, thank God for his testimony. He knew he was on the verge of going to another world for some time. Thank God for his testimony. Hallelujah. You young folks, I want you to hear me. We've buried more than one young person around here. We've had Kobe Peach's funeral some years ago, 15 years old. Kobe Peach. Now you mom and dad, as you hear me, little boys and girls in your home, their life is fragile. It can be gone real fast. And you're going to have an effect on them by what you say in your home about the Bible, about holiness, about Jesus. You're going to have an effect on them. And just, you know, a mild religion ain't going to cut it. You're going to have a heart sold out to Jesus Christ. He's got to mean more to you than all of the world. Don't you, Mom and Dad, don't you accept some mild religion for your children and think just because they've got a little bit religious
Everything's all right. And it don't matter where they go to church. It don't matter what they believe. Don't you accept that? Your children die outside of Jesus Christ. They're going to hell just like everybody else's. The only way they're going to heaven is if they are in Jesus Christ. Your children can leave this church right here knowing they're lost, knowing they're not living for Jesus. They can go to church right down the road and they'll stick them in a position of authority and position of leadership, and they're just as lost as they were when they left this church. You know it's the truth. And the church world of our day will pat them on the back all the way to hell. Brother, I'm telling you sincerely from my heart this morning, if your children are outside of Jesus Christ, they're not sold out to the Son of God. They don't love Him and they don't love the Bible and they don't love the commands of God and they're not serving God with all their heart. They're lost. They're in Adam. They'll never know the benefits of the resurrected Jesus until they get in Christ Jesus. Y'all, I'm stirred up this morning. I don't want to lose nobody in this place to the devil, to Satan, to sin, to destruction. I want every one of these young folks to know Jesus Christ, to love Him and serve Him, keep His commandments, walk in obedience to Him. Who knows who will be next? And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has risen from the dead. Hell has lost the battle, and you can be saved. Thank God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want us to stand together this morning while Sister Judy comes to the piano. I want you to bow your heads. Young lady, young man, I want to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord? Is He the most important person in your life? Do you fellowship with Him every day of your life? Does your heart yearn for Jesus, to know Him, to experience Him, to love Him, to fellowship with Him? Is there something inside of you that grieves you when you are not doing the will of God in your life? Is there something, a check on the inside of you, that when you step out of the path of duty and the path of responsibility, there's something inside of you that goads you back into the path of righteousness? Do you really know Jesus? Or is this just a religious thing that you picked up and think it's grand, you know, that you go to church and everybody thinks you're a good person? But do you know, are you in Christ Jesus this morning? I don't want to take a chance on you young folks. I want you to know that you are in Christ, that you're really saved. Your heart has been purified by the blood of Christ. And not just you young folks, but I'm asking you moms and dads, do you love the Lord? Is this the most important thing in all the world to you, is that you please Him, that you walk in fellowship with Him? Is this the most important thing in your life? Are you in Christ Jesus? Sister Judy, I want you to sing. While she sings, the altar's open. Altars are open. Altars are open. It ought to be sobering to us that a 19-year-old boy with connections to this church is in eternity right now. Oh, it ought to be sobering to us. Is this just something that we these things, you know, just another piece of news we picked up. It ought to be sobering to us. Altars are open. Altars are open. About it, young man. What about it, young lady? What about it, mama? What about it, daddy? If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In Christ we live. In Adam we die. We're waiting. We're waiting. Jesus is waiting. Folks, listen to me. Years ago, there was a family in this community started coming to this church. Had two little boys, about the ages of my boys, who were taught in Sunday school while mom and daddy came to the church. I think maybe we got them some when their parents weren't coming. But their parents came, said they got saved, did wonderful. I remember the mama around the altar. They didn't know anything about holiness. God began to work in their hearts. I remember how they shed off the world. Started cleaning up their lives. I remember that woman standing around the altar, the Lord's Spirit on her, shouting, rejoicing, praising God. After a while, they decided they didn't want to go the way of the Lord. Left the house of God, took those two boys out of the house of God, moved off to another city. I read in the paper about their oldest son on death row, waiting his execution. As a young man, high on drugs, maybe alcohol, wild night, boys and girls took a shotgun, stuck it in the face of the girl he'd been with that night, blowed her into eternity. That young man is in eternity right now. He's been executed by the state of Virginia. I know you say, well, it could never happen to any of us. That's just... you're fooling yourself. I said, you're fooling yourself. The potential is in every heart outside of Jesus Christ. And mamas and daddies, I'm telling you, it's time to get down to business with God. And young people, it's time to get down to business with God. You must get down to business with God. This preacher's telling you, you must get down to business with God, or the consequences are going to be too bad to mention.